Good afternoon. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. You are on the air.
I was calling a little long, that I forget what I wanted to ask. But anyhow, there's two major points I don't know if you could help me out with them, right?
Okay.
The first one is I has just recently came up from hospital. I was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to find out if this Smokey Bear is still competing, or if he will recover to compete, or if Colin Spencer is going to replace him, because I know that I haven't heard anything from Colin Spencer.
Okay.
And my next point is that I know they said that the Prime Minister, she is doing her best, but there are two points. They said the non-contributory pension is to get about $900 a month. And I was contributing, and I only getting about $40 or less than, more than them. And I wanted to know if I, because I heard that there's only over 1,000 that won't get the raise, and I'm still under 1,000. So I wanted to know if I am entitled, because I haven't got any raise came out on my check. So I don't know if you could clarify those 2 points for me. And one more thing is, the guy who called in has left brain or right brain. He always speaking about homosexuality. He seems to have a problem. But if you can clarify those 2 points for me, that is all.
All right, thanks. My update on Smokey Burke is that he will not be competing. And you must understand that if he has been hospitalized, the performance is on Friday, is highly unlikely that he can return from being critically ill to be able to grace his stage. So I suspect that the reserve in Mr. Colin Spencer will have to take his rightful position and compete come Friday. And on the non-contributory pension, I would advise the conversation to be with the national insurance. I don't have the details on the persons who fall in a specific category. I know the persons who are non-contributory are supposed to get the increase, but as it relates to your specific case, have you called the national insurance as yet? You're not there? Okay, you're probably listening for a response. What I would suggest to you is to call the National Insurance office first. Give them your ID number to find out what is the status with your specific case, because we did hear that there were a number of persons who had to call and get some more information. So I can't give you any more information as it relates to that. Thank you for your contribution. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gay. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Sure, yes. Sure, last week was absolutely hilarious.
You didn't make it in?
No, I was going off for an hour and 20 minutes.
Listen, those numbers, there were so many people backed up on the calls last week. Clearly, you people want to talk about matters.
I was going to give you the guidelines that Kenneth Hatch gave when he was a moderator, and also he's actually be proven correct by Rand on the Way College. Those two colleges are the ones that translated the Roman Catholic translation of the budget,
mm-hmm.
and also one of our own pastors here also in 2016 had to use the same process to understand what was written in the New Testament. Kenneth Hatch said clearly, in order to understand what was written inside the Bible, you must understand, first of all, he said it was both books were given to the Hebrews, so you must understand the way the Hebrews understand it. The life story of St. Jerome,
mm-hmm.
who translated the budget, shows that St. Jerome understood, and the footnotes and runs of the Bible, which produced a Roman Catholic translation of that, of the budget, that in fact you must understand and show how St. Jerome did it. He used Hebrew law and custom to prove the meaning of certain things within the scriptures.
Okay.
And in 2016, Pastor Cody Salmon has to use Hebrew law and custom to understand, to experience some person on the government station while a certain person inside the New Testament meant. And it is practiced today in New York in the synagogues. So free interpretation, it's not going to make you understand any part of it. But let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that I said we had some bad hurricanes, huh?
Yes.
And a certain person on the other station was talking about the islands we protected and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 11, it said the law, the islands shall receive their law. If you go to, if you, when you look into the Bible, it's never preached in the verse. You have the islands to Hebrew means the Mediterranean, Spain, all that area is what islands meant. But the person sees islands in the Bible and interprets it in according to our present situation, because we do live among islands, don't we?
Yeah.
So the islands, right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, you completely mislead, because it does not mean that when you speak, you see inside the Bible. But that's not the point. Listen, the thing about Imam, first of all, I want to commend Reverend Charles Morris yesterday. I'm very interested in his input, especially when he spoke about mortgages. The historians would understand the connection I made between mortgages and usury from the Bible dictionary from William Robinson Smith to Mr. Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
How Brother Ann Pettifer in her book, The Coming First Rule, that crisis, where she actually predicted what would happen in 2008, 2006, the year after, I read it to him from there, to understand the significance. And also on Mr. Latouche. Yes, Mr. Latouche, the documentary maker, Tom, what's his name? Tom, forget the last name now. Tom Hall, yes, he said the same that you said. Barbados was actually at the center of the African slave trade, and we had the people from Barbados actually contribute a lot to the slavery in the Carolinas and Virginia and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's something which the colonial slave masters do, right? And believe it or not, this might sound funny, but it happened right now. It's on the BBC. And when the colonial masters were in charge of India, there was a tribe in southern India who are of African ancestry. They stigmatized the people's language to the point where even after the colonial days were over, to this day, they don't speak their own language. They shouldn't speak their own language.
Mm.
And also, a BBC report from South America also shows that the Spanish, did the same thing to the servants of American tribes. They don't speak their own language anymore.
Mm.
So it's still with them.
Okay.
It's a matter of programming, deprogramming that you must go through. Mm-hmm. And you must understand what they did in order to deprogram. Anyway, you have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much, sir. I have a notice here from one of our moderators, Mr. Sanka Price, and it says, it's a notice from the NAS pension, from the National Insurance Board, and it speaks specifically NAS pension increases, and this response is to my previous caller. It says, please be advised that effective 9th July 2018, there was an increase in the non-contributory pension from $155 to $255 weekly. This is as a result of the announcement in the Prime Minister's recent mini budget. As a consequence, there was an increase in the minimum contributory pension from $190 to $235 weekly, also effective 9th July 2018. So I hope you heard me. The non-contributory pensions, pensioners received an increase from $155 to $255 weekly, and those, the minimum contributory pension, from $190 to $235. I know what I said, minimum. And that took effect from the 9th of July 2018. I hope that helps. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. It is now 18 minutes after the hour of 12 p.m. today, on the 2nd of August, 2018. Are you there? Down to Brass Tacks. If you're not there, I would respond to one.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you keeping to there?
Doing well, thank you.
That lady ain't really there today. I saw that smoking was in intensive care.
Yes.
Yes, so she must need to read the paper.
Well, she heard it. No, because I would have. I didn't specify where he was. I did hear he was in ICU. I told her he's still in hospital.
Yeah. So I would like him to recover.
Yeah, let's pray for his speedy recovery.
Maybe recover. He cannot come on the stairs. You know,
No, he wouldn't be in any position for that.
No, he never position. But I hope that you can pray that he come over.
Yes.
Yes, I had a call about my pension this morning, too.
Mm-hmm.
Again, problem with the pension. The second month, I thought I would have got a raise, but I didn't get no raise.
This is August 2nd.
And
the weekly increase would have taken effect from July 9th.
Yeah.
So you have not seen an increase since then?
No, I get a survivor.
Oh, yours is not
pension.
Yours is a survivor's benefit. Yeah. Okay.
Again, a small survivor, huh?
And there has been no increase.
No.
Right. I don't think that the increase would have been for the survivor's benefit. It spoke specifically to the non-contributory pension and the pension. But there was a discussion, though, about 3 weeks ago, I recall a discussion about persons who are on welfare generally. But I didn't get any specific feedback on that. So that's something we will have to research here to see. Did you call to ask any questions?
Yes, I was calling, but you know, you call, you cannot get to that sometimes.
Oh, you haven't got through, okay.
Yeah, but I will get to later on. I will keep on calling.
Yes.
Okay, so you
Thank
have
you
a
so
blessed
much.
Day.
Thank you. Enjoy your pickety crop finals. You seem to be interested in that. So I wish you all the best. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Are you there? Okay. I want to just make a comment here on a WhatsApp. It's a pretty long one, but it refers to a conversation we had just a little while ago. And it talks about persons in the Anglican community having a right to go through the process. They said that it is not fair for persons who are not in the Anglican to judge persons negatively because they have not elected a local local bishop. Is not a problem. That the process has to be followed, and that's exactly what happened. It said that all Anglicans prayed for God's will to be done, and why should this be seen as a negative or as a step down? It said a Barbadian bishop has no more authority or more right than anyone else from anywhere else, as the Anglicans will continue to pray for God's will to be done. It says to please advise your callers not to be judgmental. They should have an informed opinion based on facts. And it says, thanks for trying to control those. Okay, so that's a person who's saying, similar to what I would have said, you know, that's the process that the Anglicans have gone through based on the rules and the canon rules and the canon regulations. And that's where they're at. And then there was another WhatsApper, pretty interesting discussion here on Clico. And it says, good morning. I'm one of those persons who had policies with Clico. I surrendered 2 policies in 2010 just before Clico collapsed. And since Resolution Life has been formed, they had indicated that payments would have been made soon after the takeover. I contacted them last year and I was told that I would have to wait another 4 years for payment. I'm not so sure if, and this is my response, Resolution Life, their discussion was earlier this year. So I think it would be best if you call again or visit the office to ask, because waiting another 4 years seems a little odd. And this is not the first WhatsApper that mentioned 4 years. Somebody mentioned 2022. So I think you need to call. I don't know if there's a specific category for your particular policy. But I know for sure if sometimes you need to be a little more persistent making a call and asking a question to see how best you can be facilitated. And I think that is something that you can do, those persons who have had policies and have had to surrender them. And then taking us right back to another caller, we go there shortly, but just back to the commentary from the governor of the central bank. But because we have a caller, I'll take a stop and I'll take that call first. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Marcy. How are you?
Hi, I'm not hearing you well. Good afternoon.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm calling on behalf of some of us widows. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's an echo I'm getting. I'm not hearing you very clearly.
Okay. All right. I'm calling on behalf of some of the widows out there, you know, who would have been getting the benefit from the National Insurance Survivor's Benefit.
Okay.
I am one of those persons, and, you know, other pensions or other benefits, you know, they were raised, but not ours.
Okay.
And I just want them to know, I heard a lady just now call you.
Mm-hmm.
I would like them to know that we are out there to help. We are out there to help widows. Blessed Widows Ministries is a ministry that was recently formed in order to help widows. There are too many of us widows out there that are suffering in silence.
Okay.
Some of the widows that I've been in contact with never worked a day in their lives, you know, depended solely on their husbands, you know, to take care of the family, take care of the home. But now that person is gone, and some some of them only have that benefit that comes to them, the survivor benefit, yet it has not been increased. I just want them to know that they can contact us. We are here to help them. We are here to help them find jobs. We are here to help them, you know, get small loans. You know, we want to try to help them in any way we can, you know, to equip them, empower them, you know, that they don't have to be on the breadline. They don't have to wait for handouts. They can help themselves. So I don't know if they can, after I go off here, I can leave my number with you, or if you want me to.
I was just about to ask you for it, but it's not public knowledge you want this number to be given.
Of course it is. Okay. You can get me at 231.
You said me. Could you give your name, Charmaine?
Oh, sorry. Yes, Charmaine Roland Bowen. 231-0061. Marsha, there's too many widows out there that are being neglected.
Could you repeat the number again, please? 231?
231-0061.
And this ministry specifically is specifically for widows. Okay, for about
widows. They're here to help widows, especially those who are in need. We know the Bible speaks specifically so many times about it.
Yes.
And I find too many of us within the church, especially, we don't heed that calling.
Okay.
So more than often, too many of us are not receiving the blessing that we are supposed to receive in helping these persons. They're lowered because some of them are so vulnerable.
Yes.
They're suffering, and we need help.
Okay.
I just want to point out, Lisa, if I can. I was looking for it online, but because I couldn't get to go to my desk to look for it, because I had brought it in when this question of survivor's benefits and others came up. The budget presentation by the Prime Minister, I don't remember the exact page now because it doesn't come up online what page it was. It says, as promised in our manifesto, we will raise the minimum non-contributory pension from $155 to $225 per week. The other part is this. Protection of our pensioners will cost approximately $18 million. The relativities will be maintained for minimum contributory pensions and survivors' benefits and invalidity benefits within the NIS.
Mm-hmm.
And the NIS will treat this expenditure separately. So it means that there was supposed to be relativity maintained with the whatever the relativity was prior to the increase.
Yeah.
So if those on survivors' benefits and haven't seen it, then they need to check with the NIS as to when it will be.
Because it was promised.
Because it is in the budget.
Yes. So Charmaine, given that it has not happened as yet, that doesn't mean that it is not going to happen. And I would encourage you to make that lobby, your specific organization, Blessed Widows Ministries, make that lobby to the National Insurance Scheme Board so that promise can be realized, because the relativity is to be put in place. So if you increase on one side, you have to of course increase on the other side. And just for clarity, it is the minimum of the contributory pension that has been increased, not all contributors pension, the minimum of the contributors pension that was increased. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You hear the music and we will go to the latest on Starcom Network News. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Number to call, 431-434-1790. Down to Brass Tacks, are you with me?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're attorney at law or political scientist or something?
No. None of the two above.
I just ask God. I think you do very well in answering most questions and everything. So
still get some lashes though, but that's part of the course.
Mm-hmm. So what is your profession?
I am a lot of things. I started out as an economist, in trade specifically, international trade. And then I studied international trade policy at the master's level, and then I went on to work at the chamber, working as a private sector development professional.
I have a question because
I'm a mediator, a trained and certified mediator, and I'm now a management consultant. So putting all of my varying skills together, I am a consultant. I'm now a regional consultant as well.
I see you're doing great things for this country, so I hope you don't go too far.
As the lady said today, if we get a bishop from somewhere, he's just a bishop. It doesn't matter. We must be able to know that our skills can be transferred from region to region. I'm not limited to Barbados if I were to leave.
But, you know, you mentioned the bishop, and I want to ask you if you could comment on what's going on.
Sure.
Two things I want to mention about education and the bishop. Okay. Selecting a bishop, I was thinking that it happened to us already, right? I can't remember it was.
Yes, yeah, I mentioned the year evades me, but
right.
Bishop Gomez, I understand he would have spent a good 20 years, two decades
of course.
In the region.
Well, I'm saying that I think, you know, we should have gotten to the stage where we can choose. I am not discriminating against anyone from elsewhere, but I'm saying, seeing that it was five or six persons to be selected from,
mm-hmm.
that it came down to two, and they should be able to come to some conclusion with these two. And I think somebody should have stepped back. That's just my thinking, right?
That was another school of thought for some persons, that
yeah.
if you have a scenario where there's a log ahead, or there's a, you know, as it is, there has been no movement from the positions of the laity and the clergy.
Uh-huh.
What about one of them making a decision that, let me step down and support the other one as much
as
I can.
You know, I have a question, and I'm wondering what the persons, you know, believers are thinking about this. It doesn't look good, and it is biblical.
What is biblical?
That you would step back, that you would give somebody else, well, this is how we're putting it, the space, that you would be so decent that you can honor somebody by, you know?
Well, in some instances, the reason why you shan't limit it to it being biblical. We had all different types of people in the Bible, and therefore murder is biblical if you really want to carry me to its literal thinking. Being biblical, what you mean is that it is noble for one man to give up for another man. But what if both of them want to give their skill sets and to serve in that capacity?
As a citizen of this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it, I'm thinking the younger man has another chance. And the older man, he probably only has a limited time, five years or whatever, right?
Because
I can't remember when they retire now. When they retire, I can't remember if it's 5 years given or 10 or whatever.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that if I was a young man, I would have honor that person and step back. That's just my thoughts. So I would go on to
I know you're going to go on to education, but my only response would be, let us not look on and make our judgments not knowing the process, the internal process. And I think even when I first heard it, it was like another time. This was at the second stage, and then the third stage were going out with those people. But then I got to understand the canon rules and regulations, and then understand the system of the Anglicans, give them their space to work out their process. And that's the position I have come to, even having the thought process that, hey, they're taking too long, maybe one body should step aside or whatever. But when you look at the process from external, not having all of the details, the internal details, it can be construed, as you're saying, it can be construed as though they don't have they're not having their act together. It's not very Christianly or whatever. But I caution you in coming to that conclusion without the real facts. And the real facts are that one group believe that the older gentleman is the best placed person. And then the other group believes that the younger gentleman, not because of his youth or anything, but they believe he's the best placed. And then they have come to a conclusion that we are not getting the person that we want, so we will put it to the next process, which is the House of Bishops. And I think we should give them that space to work it out.
Listen to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we have the laws here too, or the rules, because of the church, we have the rules here to elect a bishop, I am thinking that that is enough. And the bishops overseas will make their decision on who they want here, and that is it. So I'm saying, suppose they send a bishop here that is younger than both of them.
They have to accept it. They have no choice. No, no, you're making a point. They have to accept. Suppose they, and I must caution you though, their decision may not necessarily be based on age. It just happens that one of them is 45 and the other one is 61. Mm. But that doesn't mean that one decision is based on age. I think we don't have all of the facts, and therefore whether we have all the facts or not, right?
Mm-hmm. The bishop that they were saying from Eddie Bahamas?
No. That took place. It will be from the region.
The region of
the
bishop,
House of Bishops. It comes from persons within the region.
They would choose somebody that none of us in Barbados don't really know much about.
Which is entirely a part of their process.
Yeah, which is, to me, it doesn't make sense that we have two here that we know.
I feel you, and I understand you, and I hear you, mm-hmm. and I empathize with you, and trust me, you are in the majority of onlookers. That's the perspective of a number of onlookers. But I'm just saying, look at it from another way.
Somebody we don't know.
Yes, but they have surrendered to that process.
It makes no sense to me.
They have surrendered to that process. That's all. But let's move on.
The thing about it is that it happened already. So therefore, what are we really learning? And I go on to education.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. What are we learning concerning education as well?
You mean our people?
Mm-hmm. Our educators. The system that we have right now is not, it's service time. And we need to move on to do more for our youth. I'm saying we, the educationists, the older people, all of us have a part in this educational process for our children and our youth that are on the block, and those who are coming up need to be a reforming education in this country. Our system is geared towards math and English and getting into high school. And lots of children, they do. Some of them get into high school, some don't. But I find out that even the ones who get into high school are very disillusioned. And you should see them in the bus stand with the ones that in the ordinary, well, the newer secondary schools, and they all act the same way. I think we need both the boys and the girls. You should see them. So we need to really turn our hearts towards the children and help them to know who they are and find a way of helping them, even by we're talking about the process of our country right now with the IMF and thing. We're going to get our children on par with work ethics. And I think our government should find a way to get, going back to the block and thing, some kind of service and developing them after they leave school rather than let them lie all over the place. Encourage them, pull them up to study something, do something. China, Africa, all those places are opening up. They don't want teachers. They want other people. A lot of people are going off into even Japan and Dubai, those places. I think we have to look not just to Barbados, but to the outside world to push our children in that direction, because we aren't really doing, we're talking about the deficit and this and this and that, but we need to have industry. There's a lot more we need to do. And you see that the right excellent Errol Barrow had his vision for us at that point in time. I think it's a new dispensation where our leaders now, mm-hmm. we need to look into our future, starting with education. All right?
Fully endorsed. Fully endorsed. I think the time is ripe for a reformed education system. Mm-hmm. There are no two ways about it. I think all hands on deck as well. It is not within the school system. Education mm-hmm. is a lifelong phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But the specific policy has to take into consideration the new times, the mm-hmm. you call it the information age or however you want to put it. And I think our trainers must teach our youth or our youth need to have an ideology. They need to have something to look forward to. They must have a vision. Yeah. They must the inculcating that whole process of the work ethics and the ethics. Mm-hmm. We got to also revisit the whole civics in school. I keep saying this. I very much support a national youth service program or something where for 1 year or 6 months, depending on what the country can afford, where every single school child is placed in an institution to serve, to develop certain key life skills. We have a lot of children who are deficient in critical thinking. And I think even an exchange program, whether it's with the region or it's with an Australia or some other far place, where they get to explore and to learn about another place. And to, I think a lot more has to go into it, but really and truly, there has to be something to finance it. And there also have to be a number of persons who have bought into the system. The whole teaching program has to be rejigged in such a way that it is an all-embracing and all-encompassing, because we need to prepare for the next generation. The next generation needs to have something to receive from us. Yeah. And I think that is something that must be, it is a top-down approach, but it must be embraced from across the, if you look at the pyramid, I'm looking at a pyramid right now. You know, the people at the top, yes, they may make the decisions, but it must be all embracing from those at the bottom so that our youth are not lost. I interact with too many of our youth who have not had the benefit of something called mentorship and training and guidance and stuff. And they need people to guide them. That's what children need. They didn't just bring themselves into the world. And a lot of our parents, unfortunately, don't have the skills and the know-how, because we have a younger parent age, before they don't have anything to give out. And I always say, if your cup is empty, it's very difficult for you to give out of your cup. And a lot of our parents are asked to give out. They work hard, they don't have time, they don't have anything to give to the young people, and our young people do need. So I fully endorse those
you know,
those
as parents. You're talking, you know what,
you hear the music so we do have to go. Tell me quickly.
I see it as borderless education.
Yes, I like that term,
borderless education.
Thank you so much. This is a good way to wrap Down to Brass Tacks today. It has been my pleasure. The 2nd of August, 2018, we thank Dennis Johnson for being in the studio. It was good to hear from the governor of the Central Bank at 11 today. My name is Lisa Gale. Look forward to hearing you next Thursday, Down to Brass Tacks.